Hello, James, back with another session for Niche Marketing, How to Pick Your Right Niche. And I want to, you know, it's awfully hard. Sometimes you go, should you tell people about problems or let them find out for yourself, or am I being negative because I'm talking about problems? And it's awfully hard when for example, I've done very, very well online, and I've worked hard at it. I've learned an awful lot. But for someone who's just starting out, or for someone who's trying to figure it out, you know, sometimes this word called niche is held out as this be-all and end-all, that if you have a niche, everything's going to work out for you. But there's some problems with niches. And what I want to do in this session is I'm just going to go through a list, and this is a little checklist for you, but it's something that you just have to be aware of, and don't, you know, make sure when you're looking at these, you go, okay, I got it, I understand, I got it. And when you're implementing the steps later on, you'll know, does this meet the checklist? Are these part of the requirements for a niche that doesn't have problems, and more importantly, one that's profitable in the long term? That means over more than one product, and we're going to get in and see why that's so important in a second. So Here's some of the problems with niches. Now, here's one of the ones that I run into all of the time. See, here's an example. Someone comes and they're a speaker or a consultant or a coach, and they happen to be an expert as it relates to a topic or a niche. So someone starting off, if you're already an expert in a field or you have a reputation, it's pretty obvious where you're going to spend some time, in what market or theme you're going to spend time in. But what happens is, if you're not a speaker, let's say you're not an expert, the thing that's missing is you've got no rep. You've got no reputation. It's like trying to sell soft drinks against Coke and Pepsi. It's just not going to happen. So if you get into a niche where you have no reputation, there can be some problems with it. And we're going to show you how to overcome that. But when you go into it and you expect that that you're going to be able to go in and become known right away, no reputation, that can be a huge problem. So unless you're a professional speaker, a coach, a consultant, a topic expert in a particular area, hey, there you go. Here's problem number two. This is one I run into all the time. Passion. Now, let me give you an example. Someone goes, great, I'm going to do niche marketing, and I'm going to do yo-yos as my niche market. I've done all the research. I've done everything you said, James. Yo-yos is the market for me. It meets all of the criteria for a profitable niche. I'm just absolutely pumped about making money in the yo-yo market. Now, here's the problem. What happens is that I'm assuming that if you've done the work and it's the right place to be. If you don't have any personal, longer-term interest in that particular market, how much energy and effort are you going to put into it? Yeah, you've got it. If you're not interested in what you're doing, if it's something that's so far removed, let's say, for example, if I wanted to go and I'm not particularly interested in fashion or home decorating personally, am I going to build a business around home decorating or fashion, even though it meets all the great requirements of a niche? So I believe that you've got to have some passion and some excitement, either for the market that you are in and the theme and the topic and the subjects that are involved in it, or passion for the process that you're using. One or the other. See, I love doing what I'm doing in web marketing because I have a passion for the process over and above doing what I'm doing. I've got a passion for both. And that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy doing what I'm doing, because I enjoy the process of web marketing, but I also enjoy the topics in web marketing, and I'm passionate about them. Now, if you don't have either one of those, I don't care how good the niche is, if it meets all the checklists, everything that you need, it's not going to work for you. That's going to be a problem. Here's some other ones that always run into big problems. No sales funnel. Now I'm talking to the sales trainers coming out of me again. What does no sales funnel mean? No sales funnel means that you're a one-trick pony. You've got one product in an entire market. You don't have... Remember what we talked about other sessions, hopefully you've seen them. You've got to have a sales funnel where you have low-end prices here or starter kits there, introductory products, midstream, and then you get into higher-end products. And the dollar amount is small here, but as you get down further, the dollar value. It's, some people call it a back-end product. They don't have anything to sell after the fact. So if you're a one-trick pony, you have only one tiny piece, one tiny niche in a market, you're going to always be chasing after sales for new customers and not being able to sell deep into an existing market with multiple products and services around the theme. Listen to what I said again. See, one of the things, and when you sell direct, when you're a salesperson, if I had a sales job in the real world, outselling, for example, would you always want to have to sell a new customer, or do you want to be able to sell an existing client? Yeah, it's easier to sell the existing client. So if you don't have that sales back end all put together up front, guess what happens? It's not going to work for you. I guarantee it. Okay? Now, I'm going to wipe these off, and those are the three sort of big ones that I always run into. And we're going to get into a lot of detail in one of the other sessions on this. Make sure the board's somewhat clean here. Sometimes a spot gets missed, and I got to look at the screen, make sure I got it. Either that or the batteries are wearing down on the screen capture board. Let me try and clean it up there. That's not bad. One last piece. There, got it. So here's the other kind of piece here. Number four, not enough assets. And what I'm talking about in this particular thing, you're going to get into a little session. We're talking about digital assets. What are all of the things that I have that I can bring to the table? What are all of the services, products, information, processes, what are all the services and stuff that I have that allow me to convert into dollars? Because really what we're doing online is we're taking digital assets and we're converting them into cash, and we do that in a whole bunch of ways. The thing that's interesting is that digital assets, and this is what we're going to get into in another little session, is you can have one asset that can be put into, the same digital asset can be put into, think of it as flavors. Think of it as flavors. If you go to, remember Baskin's and Robbins ice cream, they always had 21 scoops or 31 scoops or something. If you go to the ice cream store, that's great, it's ice cream, but you don't go for vanilla every day, although some people might. They have flavors. It's still ice cream. It's still an asset, but what you're doing is you're giving a different flavor of it. And what you can do is start to combine flavors, the way that it gets distributed, and it allows you to get multiple streams of dollars or income coming from the same single asset. So we're going to show you about that. If you don't have enough digital assets that are in a form that allow you to create multiple versions of the same thing, you're in trouble. And here's the fifth one. And this is a huge trap for entrepreneurs. Not cretins. Better spell that properly. Now this often happens for speakers and coaches and consultants like me. I fall into this trap from time to time. I try and create too much. If you're smart about this in a niche, you don't have to do all of the work yourself. You don't have to create all of those digital assets yourself. There's all sorts of ways that you can leverage other people's assets. And we'll go into that in a little more depth in another session, but don't create too much on your own. You don't have to do it, but you have to have the right to that asset. So those are the five key things you should always... Here's my little checklist. You're thinking about it, okay, great. What do I need to do here with this niche? What are the things I don't want to fall into with niche marketing? Well, if you get a chance, just think through this list. Remember, there's five things I got to worry about. Passion, creating, assets. Those are the ones that are pretty straightforward. Back-end products is the one that most people get caught up in. They don't have a back-end, or they don't have a process to build a business with. And of all of them, this is my biggest beef with niche marketing, is that people are thinking too short-term. They're thinking too short-term. How can I earn some money today as opposed to how can I build a business? So don't make these problems in your business. And you're going to be amazed and delighted how quickly you can start creating multiple streams of income with your own information and products and services and those of someone else's if you've picked the right kind of niche. This is James speaking. We'll be back again shortly with another quick session from Start Marketing Online and how to pick the right niche.